are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Picture, if you will, a man running a website all by himself. That website, OneOfUs.net. But there are many challenges down the road, ones even he cannot possibly imagine. Dark challenges. Like, how do you get the money to keep a site like that going? Well, you do it by getting subscribers. Mysterious, anonymous subscribers out in the ether who come in and give subscriptions in order to keep the site running. Sure, they get free bonus content and a lot of it, but who are they really? People who are oneofus.net. People who are one of us. Or is it Oscar Blues Brewing Company? The beer brewery that made the first craft beer in the can. How did they even come up with that idea? Did it come from aliens? From something that's before time and man tread on this planet? No one can ever know, but the truth is, there's genius there, as their beers are delicious. And they have brew pubs located in North Carolina, two in Colorado, and one in Austin. Oscar Blues, a sponsor for OneOfUs.net. Between Oscar Blues and you, the potential subscriber, is the only hope this man and this website has. There's a signpost up ahead, and it reads, OneOfUs.net needs you.
Man, I don't know. I just couldn't identify with this movie. I've tried puzzles, and I'm like, well, it's been 5 minutes, and it's still not done, so I think it's broken.
Oh. So it left you feeling confused?
Confused.
Would you say you were
puzzled? I get it now.
Yeah.
Now, this is
actually a very straightforward movie for a movie named Puzzle.
I know. I literally did not even read the description, and I was like, ooh, Puzzle. It's going to be one of those cool, twisty little noir things. Like, who's the killer?
No, it's not Memento. There aren't, like, little clues in each little puzzle piece.
No.
Although, imagine how much better it would be if it was like that.
It would be very different. That's for sure.
Totally different genre.
I don't know if I'd go. For what it is, which is basically a coming of middle age movie. Yeah. I thought it succeeded rather well.
But I'm Chris.
I'm Bo.
I'm Miguel.
Yeah, this is the second film by director Mark Turtletaub, starring Kelly MacDonald, who
played the underaged girl that Mark Ritten sleeps with in Trainspotting.
Right.
And much to my distress, is the parent of an adult kid and a high school kid in this fucking play. Well, oh God, how did this happen?
I always think of her in Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
She's so great in that movie.
Oh, well, Kelly MacDonald is a Scottish national treasure. She's a wonderful actress. And, you know, here she is. She's playing an American, and of course, has her spot on American accent gone. She is a Catholic, a devout Catholic housewife living in a kind of a bedroom community in upstate New York. She's a stay at home mom. She's been taking care of you know what we kind of you know can piece together. She's been taking care of her husband. Then they married. You know, relatively young. They had two kids, and she's been the stay-at-home mom ever since. She does, you know, church functions, and she does the cooking and the cleaning.
She does
and
exactly
everything.
What is expected of her,
yeah.
And does it extremely well, mm-hmm. and no more. And nor does she ever seem to look past those boundaries.
Right.
Till one day at her birthday, where she was literally, like, not even part of the celebration, she is just cleaning and providing stuff, and somebody gives her a puzzle, like an actual puzzle. And she decides to do
like
it.
One of the big not like a kiddie puzzle, the 1,000 pieces that you're supposed to put on your coffee table and work on for like 3 weeks.
Yeah. She finishes it in a matter of hours and decides basically that this is a thing that she likes, even though she can't seem to quite figure out why she likes it as much as she does, and does it again. And then does it again.
Yeah.
Now her husband, big honkin' lug David Denman, is so adjusted to this way of life
yeah.
that although it's not that he's a terrible husband.
No, in fact,
at all.
I think he does a really good job of making this character multidimensional, and he's not a jerk of a husband at all. Quite to the contrary. Like, you know, it kind of lets on that his dad may have been, you know, a little abusive, and by those standards, he's practically progressive. I mean, and he's a good husband.
I mean, to be fair, there are no women in this room right now, and I'm sure some women would say he's a bad husband. I mean, he wasn't physically abusive to her, but he was verbally abusive.
He came close, and he's definitely like, this is a guy he's kind of in a warm bath of his life where, mm-hmm. where, you know, he goes to his work, he's the provider, and, you know, he comes home and his dinner is ready for him. He's happy with that. He has no reason whatsoever to rock the boat. And it's obvious that he really loves his wife, you know, he's not cheating on her or anything. And in fact, whenever, you know, they make a point of saying, like, at his job, the other guys are always hitting on the customers, and he's always like, let me just tell you how great my wife is.
Yeah, and they, what it comes down to is he's been stuck in the same rut that she has, except he's never found any reason to be unhappy with it or yeah, question it or anything.
It's the, you know, the male dream of the you know, 1950s through, you know, in some regions of the country now. It's just like you marry somebody and they take care of the household and you go out and you are the breadwinner.
But he doesn't want a wife. He wants a mother.
Right.
You know, he's Fred Flintstone.
Right. Totally is that type of character. Yeah. Yeah. And she decides she's enough into this puzzle, and then one crappy 100-piece puzzle she finds after much searching in the basement, that she is going to go into the big city, which she never, ever does. This is already breaking convention.
She calls the people who gave her, the relatives that gave her the puzzle for her birthday present, and she's like, where did you get this? And they're like, oh, we got it at a specialty store in New York. And she's like, oh, God, because you almost get the, like, at first, when I first started watching this, I thought maybe she was a shut-in because she's just she seems very introverted and very, very closed-in.
Mousy,
doesn't go out a lot. And the idea of going to New York, it doesn't terrify her, but it is off-putting to her. She's like, God, I haven't done that, you know, since I was in my 20s.
I kept thinking because one of her other presents was an iPhone at her birthday, which she was like, oh, I don't even need that. That's just silly. What would I need that for? And I was like, if the son had just taught her how to use the damn iPhone, she would have just gotten it on Amazon.com and ordered all the puzzles she wanted, exactly. And then this movie never would have had to have happened.
Yeah. But, or she could have gone to her local Target, where I'm sure they had, like, piece puzzles.
2 billion. Yeah, exactly. But, no, she goes there, she finds the hipster puzzle store, and gets the
You puzzles. Know there's a couple like that in Austin.
But she sees a weird thing on the wall that's like one of those little tear-off-the-tag with a phone number. It's like competition puzzle partner needed. And without even probably completely understanding why she's doing it, she rips off one and then texts the guy who's like, yes, come on, let's meet. And while feeling guilty the whole time about doing something that isn't her normal thing, goes to meet him, played by the wonderful Irfan Khan.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Between the two of them, I'm not sure who had the most beautiful brown eyes. They have these huge, like, soulful brown eyes that you're just like, good Lord.
Yeah, and she goes to meet him in his, like, completely fucking bonkers New York house, which is just like these incredible parquet floors. And, you know, and it's obvious from the moment he gets in, it's just like, oh, this guy's fucking working with some money here.
Yeah, and it's good. He's like, he says, yeah, I was an inventor. I invented one thing, which they never really say what it was.
Something to do with magnets.
Yeah, and
magnets, how they work.
It was so ridiculously successful, and now I do nothing.
He literally figured out how magnets work.
Right, and he's like, I do nothing. I watch the news, and I do puzzles, and that's about it. And he's sad, too, kind of, because his wife left him, who was his previous puzzle partner. And all of this slowly is coming out as they are meeting up because they're going to be together on a puzzle competition, like an actual, like, straight-up bunch of other people timed thing as partners to solve a puzzle. And as this is going on, she's getting more questions about existence and just her own life and what does she really want.
He's basically, like, she shows up and you know, her suspicions are confirmed when she does a puzzle with him, and he's like, holy shit, you're a fucking prodigy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I definitely want you as my partner. You know, you need to start coming into town two times a week. We need to practice for this big competition. And she's like, And so she decides to do this, but she does not tell her family. She makes up some bullshit about visiting a relative, yeah. And, you know, she's already kind of having, like, a little bit of a mental affair when this goes down.
This very intimate look at her, which is so often very close shots of her and her face, which is so, I mean, it's Kelly MacDonald, so enormously expressive, as she's playing this woman who's just opening up,
yeah.
You know, bit by bit, who starts to question her own son's roles as well. Like, are they really happy? What is it that they really want? Especially one of them who is the one that they've decided is the one who's never going to make anything good of himself because he wasn't as smart.
There's a lot of things in this movie of people figuring out things that they are good at and what they choose or do not choose to do with that.
Yeah.
One of the things I kind of rubbed me the wrong way is about Kelly MacDonald's character. She's so innocent. She doesn't know how any of the internet works. She doesn't know how a cell phone works.
She's a good castle girl.
Yeah. She doesn't know anything about the outside world, nothing that's going on. It's just, it's a little off-putting. It took me out of the movie a little bit, like, yeah, come on. I don't know if there's people like that out there.
There are tons of people.
Really? I actually dated a girl like that when I first moved to Austin who was like one of those people I met through a friend, and they were like, my friend really likes you. Like, would you be willing to go on a date? And she was super religious, and like, I was very like, I don't know if this is a good idea because that's not me. But we went on a couple dates, and in the end, I was like, this is. We are never going to be compatible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, to her, you didn't do anything but close mouth kiss before marriage.
And
I was like, these are real people.
And I've certainly met people that are like, I see no reason to watch the news or you know, surf the internet or all that shit because it's just depressing and horrible, which, you know, fair fucking point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but they're like, it makes us the point that she is encapsulated with this life. She's like, you know, she's been busy raising two kids and taking care of pretty much all of her husband's needs over 18 years.
She's been waiting hand and foot on a house full of men, which presumably was probably the same thing she watched her mother do.
Yeah.
In the same house.
And she doted
in the same house.
That she kind of took care of and doted upon her father before this.
Right. And it's interesting. There's a turn in this movie towards the very end that I thought was fascinating where it really does, because you think this is kind of a romantic drama. And in the end, I feel like it only is with sense of her truly learning to love herself.
Yeah,
she
absolutely.
Makes a decision towards the end of this that is about, I don't want to live my life because of what people expect from me or what they need from me. I want to live my life based on the things I want to do now. I've done it the other way long enough. Yeah. And I thought that was really a nice and very subtle touch.
That's where this movie really succeeds for me, in that it shows the process of this person really discovering themselves after having been kind of ensconced in one role for so long and seeing the other possibilities and finding things and making a point of how messy that can get. But still being very positive in you know, just in the offering that this is a good thing. She is expanding. She is becoming a more fully realized person.
A little, just kind of a hiccup character along the way, but one that adds to her sort of like realizing the world is a bigger place, is played by Liv Hewson, who plays one of her son's girlfriends,
yeah.
Who you might know from Santa Clarita Diet on Netflix. Mm-hmm. She plays the daughter on there, who is like, oh yeah, I'm a Buddhist. And like early on, it's established like Agnes, Kelly MacDonald's character, she really doesn't even know what that is.
Yeah.
She's like, I've heard celebrities talk about it, but no one ever explains what Buddhism is. She doesn't have a clue what it is.
She doesn't know what veganism is.
She doesn't know what veganism is. Yeah. And that's how sheltered.
Well, to be fair, like, and it's a great scene where she's like, well, I made chicken.
Yeah.
And I have a former girlfriend who was a pescatarian, but people were always like, I know you don't eat meat, but we made chicken. Yeah. And that happens.
And then she says, I should have made fish.
Yeah. But
funny enough, most of the pescatarians I know also will on occasion go like, yeah, I'll have chicken. As
well. One I knew did.
One thing I noticed is puzzle she gets in the beginning, the one that kind of breaks her free, it's of an atlas, right? Or the world, right?
It's a map of the world.
Yeah, it's a map of the world. And then, you know, that puzzle helps her break out of her small little world and see the rest of the world, right? And then towards the end, you know, what you were talking about.
And then the puzzle she gets buys after that are puzzles by the Romantics, the paintings. And you're like, oh, okay, so this is like this richer sort of feeling going forward that's sort of represented in these puzzles. If I have any complaint, it's that, and it's not even really a complaint per se, it's just such a nice moment, I wanted more of it, where Irfan Khan sort of like defines in a really nice speech what is going on with her. And it's such a insightful, beautiful like realization where she herself is like, you know, having an epiphany as he's speaking of like what he's right. This is what puzzles, why that broke this out of me. That I'm like, I really wish there were more scenes like that in the movie. Yeah. You know, most of it is very subtle. It's very intimated by facial expressions as opposed to dialogue. It's extremely well shot. There's a lot of gorgeous cinematography in this thing, for sure. But this is not for your average, you know, looking for a rollicking good time cinema viewer.
This is going to be an indie darling, and as well it should. But if you are not the type of person who goes regularly to your local art house theater, probably not going to be your cup of tea. You know, there's not a lot of rollicking action in this. It's more like this reminded me of a very well crafted short story, and it's very story driven and it's very character driven, and it's one of the things that it really does beautifully is every one of the characters in this seems pretty fully realized. They're three dimensional. They're real people.
I will say, with the exception of the son who might or might not be going to college, who we know almost nothing about.
I think they did a good job of pointing that he was kind of the more favored of the two sons. Mm-hmm. And then later it shows up that, well, he's kind of, you know, even though at first you might think that he's more open-minded, it turns out, well, no, he's just another self-centered teenager.
Right. All right, so final thoughts. Miguel, what do you got for me?
I thought this was really...
And no using puzzle pieces in the arbitrary review for your number.
Okay. Yeah.
It's too easy.
I thought it was really quiet, very subtle movie. Excuse me. It allowed, you know, it's great to see, like, well, like you said, is a middle of age comic store. It's kind of like 32nd grade or something like that, 38th grade. I enjoyed it. It left me wanting a little bit more. Like, I really enjoyed Irfan Khan and Kelly MacDonald. Like, I wish they would have had more scenes together. I mean, I could only see them putting together puzzle pieces so much. You know, I need a little bit more. But if you don't like this, or, you know, this is what we were talking about earlier. It is a remake of an Argentinian film.
Right.
Which was called Rompecabezas. Which is literally puzzles in Spanish.
Well, there you go.
So, and from everything that I've read and from people, numerous people I've talked to, that movie is better. So I'm definitely...
Of course it is. It's in Spanish.
Yeah. And I just want to count how many times they say rompecabezas in that movie. So, you know, this is a good one. I would give it maybe 6 out of 10 hamburger meats.
Bo.
Yeah, so, you know, just sticking with what I said, this is going to be an indie darling, and it totally deserves to be. It's the thing that's going to make the art house rounds, and the folks like me that really like to go to the art house are going to get a lot out of it. I don't think it's going to go over the top in, say, the way that perhaps Francis Ha did last year, not Francis Ha, but
Lady Bird.
The other Greta Gerwig directed movie,
Lady Bird.
Lady Bird. Yes, I'm sorry, didn't hear you. I just assumed you were wrong, as usual.
I understand.
Yes, I don't think it's going to go over the top and you know pull in the punters like Lady Bird did, but I do think it is going to you know garner a nice little buzz among the people who really appreciate and love this kind of movie. I had a blast. I thought it was really well crafted, beautifully shot. I really love the stories and characters. Like I said, it struck me as a very, very good short story, the kind of thing that you might hear on selected shorts or, you know, reading a good anthology. And I love that. I'm a huge fan of that particular genre. So, for me, it mostly wins. maybe a little bit of a lag here and there, and I'm glad that it didn't go longer than it did, but there were certain things that maybe they could have delved into a little bit more deeply. Maybe they could have used the puzzle device a little more adroitly. But other than that, I really have no complaints.
Like someone gets murdered and she's got to figure
no,
it out.
No, but just the like you said, you know, the idea that you know, it's a map of the world and then it's the romantic poets. Yeah. And they really kind of stopped there. After that, you never really see the picture of any particular puzzle that they're working on. Right. And I think they could have used that. But that's, you know, that's really nitpicky. You know, like I said, it's a road they could have gone down and they didn't. And you know, this movie is kind of about roads less traveled anyway. So, you know, kudos to that. I give it you know, I'm going to give it an 8.5 broken plates out of 10.
You know, we often say, and I think a lot of people do, is that, like, obviously it's going to be better to see a big explosive movie in the theater than it is at home. Sure. Or on your iPhone or what have you, right? I mean, like, you're going to have a more, even if you don't like the movie, you'll like it more in a theater than you will sitting and watching it at home. And we're usually, like, with a lot of the little indie stuff, we're like, yeah, you probably wait for Netflix on that, you know? This is the type of movie, the way it's shot and how intimate it is. I actually say this is a film made for seeing in the theater, for being completely absorbed in it. You are not going to get as much from this if you're like, oh, I just got a text message. I'm going to check this real quick.
Right.
This is one of those movies that's designed for you to become absorbed in this woman's life and be put in her shoes. And that's not going to work without that direct intimacy. And it did work for me. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I will be very interested to see what the director does next. Obviously, always interested to see whatever Kelly MacDonald or Irfan Khan does next, because they're both fantastic. I would even watch a sequel to this, because I would kind of like to see what this character, what an interesting character, somebody that sheltered, who suddenly the world is open to her, what does she choose to do? You know, it would be fascinating. It does feel like the first chapter of something, you know, and maybe if there's a problem, it's just that. I did kind of want more, but the way it's structured, there's no way to do more. I mean, you're not going to make a 3-hour movie here. You know, it's a solid short story. It's a solid first chapter. And in 103 minutes, that's not unreasonably long. You know, obviously this is not going to be for everyone, but it really, really was for me. I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 big ass chicken dinners. That was a lot of chicken. There was like five people there, and there was like 17 pieces of chicken.
Because they were expecting, you know, Miss Teenage Hippie Dippy Doo to eat 3 or 4 pieces. And
yeah.
She had to, you know, stick with the fucking salad because she's no fun.
David Deming, what, are you American? You're not going to eat the breast of chicken?
No.
Can we say breast? I don't even know.
Eat your chicken tit.